Hey guys, it's Andy here in another episode of the Mountain Malarkey podcast with Dave.
Hello, everybody.
How are we doing, Dave?
Yeah, not bad.
We realised that when we do the Tuesday tune-in over on Facebook, which we've been doing during lockdown, we had some comments and requests around, you know, not everyone's on Facebook, but people still wanted to hear about the content. There's been some great stuff. We've talked about bags. We've talked about Battle of the Treks. We talked about trekking boots, mindset, fitness, loads of stuff. And we thought to ourselves, well, why don't we turn these into podcasts? Because, like you said, Dave, they're sitting down listening for an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is a great format. You can do it on the go, put it in your car, listen to it. It's a bit interactive, so you're going to have seen us answer questions and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
You know, but if you're listening to this, obviously, and you have any questions about any of the things you hear, podcast@evertrek.co.uk.
Awesome, Dave. Yeah, enjoy the episode, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, all the best.
But yeah, today we wanted to come back to one. I think we realized that over the last kind of 12 months, we've talked about a lot of different subjects. Actually, we haven't done one on fitness or training for quite some time, a couple of years.
Yeah,
actually.
No, I think so.
Which
yeah.
is nuts, really.
I think we've done more thought-related Tuesday tune-ins for a while.
Yes.
You know, thinking about, you know, what it means to go on an adventure and all that type of stuff. And I think recently we decided to go back to the nitty-gritty, didn't we?
We did. Yeah.
You know, I think once we did a Tuesday tune-in about socks. You know, who knows?
Actually, did pretty well.
Yeah, marvelous, isn't it? How like, and we did one on gloves. Remember that? I remember the picture because we used. What's his name? That American politician, Bernie Sanders.
Who's is he still alive?
Yeah, he's got to be.
He's still alive.
And remember that? Remember that picture with his little gloves like that? I think it was an inauguration or
it
something.
It was. It feels like a long time ago now. Anyway, we wanted to bring it back to basics, and obviously a lot of, you know, now the weather is, especially it's a beautiful day here in South Wales, which is a rarity. We've got blue sky, man. It's absolutely crazy. The world is going nuts.
Yes, the weather's been mad. Mm. It has made it tricky to get out and kind of know what kit to wear. Because yesterday, storm force gales in the morning, wind, rain all day.
Yeah.
Today, shorts and t-shirt weather.
You know what you should do?
What's that?
Just wear shorts and t-shirts. Shorts and t-shirts in the rain.
Yeah,
with a waterproof jacket. On
with a waterproof jacket or poncho if you're going to Kilimanjaro.
Trousers.
Yeah, it's a good system.
But anyway, we're not here to talk about waterproofs today. Although any questions at all about anything, obviously put them in the comments.
Yeah,
that's what we're here to talk about. Absolutely everything and anything,
including Jodie's holiday.
He's been off on her adventures.
Yeah, no, I think that's her seventh holiday this year. I think and. She's also she might be the painted Yeti number two.
Really?
Mm.
What, she's had a new one?
Her first one.
Wow, yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah.
The office gossip has literally made it to the Tuesday tune-in.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know.
Yep.
Wow, I will be finding out what that is afterwards, and we'll let you all know. Anyway, sorry, going on to today's subject about training and fitness, we want to kind of break it down into, you know, try and simplify it. And a lot of EverTrekkers, especially if you're on here, and you've been part of the community for a while, probably done a trek with us, probably know a little bit about what it takes to actually do, you know, to trek at a high altitude. But we wanted to open up the conversation again.
Yeah.
Because I think we've all, and I certainly have fallen into this category at some point, is that sometimes you can get a little bit complacent. You know, I've done, obviously, Everest Base Camp many times, been to Kili, Tubkal, Machu Picchu, but, you know, my fitness levels have dipped and definitely ebbed and flowed over the last kind of several years. And sometimes you just need a reminder just to spark you back into action that actually just do the simple stuff. And, you know, that'll put you in good stead for any trek that you do. And yeah, so we wanted to kind of come to onto those kind of to those bits to actually.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things that I really. Try to be honest about it as well, is because we go on a lot of trips and we do a lot of things, but that doesn't mean that we're sort of perpetually in a sort of Kent and cool state of fitness. We're very much more reflective of what I think our customers are and what our fellow EverTrekkers are, which is, you know, regular people that want to do extraordinary adventures.
Yes.
But then how do you go from a regular state of fitness or unfitness to sort of trek ready?
Yeah.
And I think that is because of our ebbs and flows,
yeah,
we've had to go through that cycle a few times, you know?
Yeah, so it happens a lot.
Yeah, so learn quite a few sort of, you know, basic ways to kind of get yourself back in the routine, which I think is probably the biggest challenge, is that first day in the gym is definitely harder than your last day in the gym. You know, yeah, getting off the sofa is hardest the first time you try it.
Yeah.
So yeah, for me, it's a mindset, it plays a big part of it.
It does. And you made a good point there around the first step, just getting into the gym or just getting outdoors or just getting, you know, your boots on. As Bryce said, I still got to put my boots on my right foot. It's just getting out there and actually just enjoying, you know, the beautiful outdoors, whatever weather. And that's sometimes the most important part. You know, we get a lot, and we've had a lot of Evertrekkers over the last, you know, several years that, you know, I've been on trips with some people and they certainly haven't, you know, and outwardly they've said, look, I don't think I've done enough training for my trip. You know, and they did find it difficult, but they got through it and they battled, and, you know, lots of them reached their goal, you know, especially like Everest Base Camp or the summit of Kili. You know, it just goes to show that you can get away with it sometimes. You can do that. But actually looking at, you know, kind of taking a step back and looking at the whole thing holistically, you know, we always think that, you know, the more training you do, you just have a nicer time.
Yeah.
You'll have a better chance of reaching and achieving your goal. So even doing something is better than doing nothing.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think I've done trips both those ways, I think, where I've kind of relied on past experience and less so on current fitness. And then I've done trips where I've really trained hard and, you know, it definitely makes a big difference. I think that the trips where I've been less fit, you're more susceptible to things like, you know, altitude headaches, you get a little bit exhausted. Also, at the end of a day, so, you know, when you trek to Namshi, for instance, we use EBC as an example, that it's a big day to get from Facting to Namshi.
Yeah.
But you arrive in Namshi.
Yeah.
So when I arrive there, usually, you know, 3 out of the 4 times that I've been there, it's like, well, okay, let's get changed quickly and let's go out and have a look around Namshi. The one time I went up there and I probably wasn't well enough or fit enough, I kind of got up there and I was in Namshi and everyone was like, you coming out, Dave? I was like, I can't be bothered. And I just think that's the difference. You know, when I missed out on a little, bits and it takes longer to recover and you're a bit exhausted. And ultimately, I think, although you have the same sense of achievement, you can have that sense of achievement with a sense of enjoyment along the way,
and you can enjoy your training as well.
Yeah
You know, I know it doesn't feel like the most joyous thing to do, get out there and do some fitness, do some training. You know, so some people find calm and actually a bit of escapism from normal day-to-day life. You know, they use their training as a bit of a kind of, okay, that's my time. You know, if that's in the outdoors, if that's in the gym, if that's just going for a walk at lunchtime, that's your time away from everyone else. Not say you shouldn't do your training without other people, but sometimes it can be also a little bit of a, you know, your time, so you can think about stuff, process stuff.
I agree.
Which helps, definitely.
I think sometimes is, you know, it's like you can make it enjoyable, you can make it fun, but essentially it doesn't have to be a chore. And I think a lot of the ways that I find that motivate me is if I have a training partner, for instance, really does help to have someone who kind of holds you accountable and who you can hold accountable, because left to my own devices, I am far more likely to sack off the gym and go home than if I'm, say, training with you or one of the other guys. And then it's, you know, if I'm feeling that way, but you're like, gym later,
it's like, I'll say it motivates you. You know, it's like, great to have friends like that.
Yeah. And I always think, like, oh, I don't want to let someone down. And then when I'm there, I feel much better for it.
Yeah.
Another thing that I try and do as well is try and find like an active hobby that you enjoy, you know, because there's a lot of stuff we can talk about specifics like leg training, core training, strength training.
Yeah.
But you know what? If all you ever did was ride your bike and that's what you love to do, you're far better off than someone that rolls off the sofa.
Exactly. And, you know, something like that is, and thinking about, you know, kind of out that, you know, outside the box kind of thing is, you know, and I had on my list as well was around thinking about other things that can get you outdoors and active. You know, it could be like swimming, surfing. You know, it could be if people are into kind of rock climbing, which is actually quite physical. You know, there's a lot of other stuff that you can do that actually, you know, your body is in good shape.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good cardio stuff. Obviously, cardiovascular is massively important. for anything that builds up, you know, leg and back strength, you know, your glutes, you know, just essentially gives you kind of strength in your body, especially movement. It's really important.
I mean, I think if I was going to pick, you know, if someone said to me, I'm only going to train one muscle, you know, to go to base camp or Kili, I would say the legs are perhaps the most important, excluding the muscle between your ears, which does about 90% of it for you. But I think that one thing I've really concentrated on since sort of April 2021, when I did my knee in, I stopped doing a lot of sort of lower body workouts and things like that because you can't. Mm. And then I noticed the first time we went to Tupacal after my trip, that I was really just struggling on the downhills. I was slipping all the time. Yeah. And part of that was because I didn't have the sort of leg strength to kind of support my body weight on steep slopes going downhill.
Yeah.
So, and it wasn't until one day when I measured my quads and I realized that my left one was quite a bit smaller than my right, I thought, well, I got to fix this before it becomes a significant issue. So I started training legs. And that was, remember, we just went on walks on lunch up and down that local hill.
Yeah, yeah, it helps. It's great. Just getting out.
Go into the gym and just doing regular hikes. Mm. Went back to Tupacal then, that time when I went with Zach and Jen.
Yeah, yeah.
The difference was unbelievable. Like in terms of my just going downhill confidently, because your legs are strong enough to support you. You're not going to slip and slide because you're looking for the easiest route all the time.
Well, like I said, your stability, your overall stability is better. Yeah. You're not going to slip, fall over. I mean, it can still happen.
It does, yeah.
But even the strongest people can fall, you know, but it certainly limits that happening.
Yeah, mind you, if my left leg slips, you've seen what happens. Like, there's no way the knee itself structurally can't hold anymore.
Mate, I've seen curbs in Caerphilly, you know,
still suffering from that. My left foot still
when
hurts.
Was that a couple of weeks ago? Was that a couple
it'll
of
be
weeks
two
ago?
Weeks this yeah, Friday. Yeah.
Dave, so, Dave's got a really so close relationship with curbs.
We decided to go out for lunch on Friday, and we park up. And let's be honest, this was the Everest of curbs.
It was tall,
huge.
Curb, yeah.
And I got out the truck, talking on my mobile phone or ringing someone, didn't notice this curb, tripped over, stacked it hard in front of a white man as well. So
it was quite funny. Obviously, there was, you know, as every friend, there's that element of worry of like, oh, geez, headbutt the floor. And then, but 95% of it is actually laughter.
Yeah.
You know.
That was weird though, because I've had crash mountain bikes. I've done what bigger. That was a trip over a curb and I hit my elbow, my eyebrow, my knee, my foot. I hit about.
It was impressive, Dave. It was impressive.
My foot still hurts.
I don't think the van that was parked behind you, of lads,
they weren't
shouting out the window, laughing. That didn't help situation.
They weren't sympathetic. No,
they weren't very sympathetic.
I'll be honest. I respect it. I mean, I'd have laughed. Would I have pulled up alongside the injured person and gone, hey, maybe not, but then, you know, each to their own.
And look, some good comments as well, and great to see Lee Wyatt as well. I mean, Jesus forgot this was on. How can he forget?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Sorry. Pretty good. I'll give you that one. I don't know how you can forget. 12:30 every Tuesday.
I know. You'd think they know by now.
Unbelievable.
But anyway, nice one, Lee. Rob Smith, British Heart Foundation, training plans for Inca Trail. Awesome. Yeah, there's some good stuff out there. I know we've got, you know, moving on to kind of training plans, and there's a lot of information out there about what you need to do and you know, how long before a trip you need to start training. You know, and it's never too early. Get out there and do something. There are specific training plans that you can get, obviously, as Evertrekkers as well.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, there's the, if you go onto our knowledge center, there's some blogs on there around training. You know, and training for one trip is the same as training for a lot of the trips.
Yeah.
Obviously, as you get higher, they tend to get a bit more physical. Certainly, the you know, when you're heading over 6,000 meters, it's a lot more physical. So you want to be in better physical shape for those.
Yeah.
But a lot of the training plans you see, a lot of it is the same. You know, certain same amount of exercises in the gym. Most of it will tell you to get outside and to do a certain distance, to get out there and say do, you know, 7 to 10 miles. We'd rather talk about time, rather get out there for a certain amount of time, I'd say, is probably more beneficial to you. Because when you're on a trip, it's a lot more about, you know, your guide will tell you, okay, today is, you know, it's going to be trekking for about sort of 6 to 7 hours.
Yeah.
But that could be 3 miles. That could be 10.
Yeah.
It varies. So they always talk about time rather than distance.
I think when you're first starting out as well, time is a much better way to keep you motivated.
Yeah.
Because some days are different from others. So I remember when I first started training for a half marathon and I couldn't run at all.
Yeah.
Like I literally started by going out for like run walks. And the idea was like half an hour a day.
Yeah.
Walk for 15 minutes, turn around, walk back. That quickly went to an hour a day.
Yeah.
And it was only when I was relatively comfortable and sort of in amongst it, I started giving myself targets on mileage.
Yeah.
But for one day, for instance, I could say, well, I'm going to go walk 3 miles and you could smash it easy. But then the next day you go and do 3 miles and you find it really hard and you're kind of down on yourself.
Yeah.
Where actually, if you said, I'm going to go out for an hour and a half, an hour and a half could be 3 miles, exactly. 4 miles.
It could be so different, yeah.
But the effort and the mindset of getting out there and trekking for that length of time is the same. And the fitness is happening whilst you're doing that. So I think time is a really good way to sort of get yourself motivated.
Or you could become a postie and walk every day, as Andy's doing.
Do you know what?
Nice, Andy. I bet that's great training, actually.
As a kid, I always wanted to be a postie.
Oh, nice.
You know, and I think it's an admirable job, especially yesterday when I saw the guy delivering in my street and it was like gale force weather, still had shorts on.
See, I always thought you'd be a good postie.
You reckon?
Yeah, well, you always deliver, don't you?
Brilliant.
You like that one, didn't
you? Yeah, that's pretty good, Yeah, but it's not a cliche, is it, that postman, like, is it like you have to wear shorts? Like if you rock up for work as a postie,
Andy, do you have to wear shorts?
And you're wearing trousers, you sort of ostracize from the group because I think that shorts are sort of mandatory for a postie.
I love Lee. I'm going to be an Evertrek mascot on the Three Passes Trek. I'll be rocking Jotnar and Bear Hug. Brilliant. What about Evertrek stuff? Where's get the Evertrek cap?
Yeah.
If you're out in Nepal, you'd be grabbing one of those. Great stuff. George Steamer, how are you doing? On the live for a while. Yeah, long time no see. I hope all is well. Yeah, great to see your comments coming in. Dewey as well. I bought a weighted vest when I booked EBC. Great idea. I put it on just walking the dog at the start. Within a month, I could jog slow 5K.
Yeah.
Then hiking the beacons. My legs are now the strongest they've ever been. Never suffered from fatigue at all in the Himalayas. Dewey, cracking, mate. I think, you know, it's great there because you've told about your journey at the beginning when, you know, you just bought a weighted vest and just started. You know, you started something.
Yeah.
And then by the end, look where you're at. I mean, mate, that's fantastic. Well done on you. It's hopefully made the more enjoyable journey on the way to EBC.
Yeah. I have my own built-in weighted vest for a while.
Okay.
You know, just like pre-installed.
And that's been getting smaller?
It's been getting smaller, noticed, yeah. Well, nice. Lately I've... anytime I break my routine, it always takes me a while to get back. So I was really good. Then I went skiing in France. And then when I came back, I was quite lazy, but I'm back into it now. So I'm enjoying it now.
Good man. Carl's back in the gym. First week back in the gym. 4 to 5 mornings a week after 5 weeks off injured. Oh, Carl, I hope you're okay. Been tough, but great to be back and out on the hills on the weekends.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's great to see everyone out. And whether that's in the mountains, whether that's in the gym. I mean, I started back, you know, I've been doing a lot of walking outside, but back in the gym last week. Yeah, still aching. But It's actually great, isn't it? It gets you feeling, you know, the endorphins, obviously, but just it's good for the soul as well. Obviously, you're exercising your body, you know, especially if you're doing stuff like I think Jerome mentioned jumping on the Stairmaster for an hour, Rolling Hills program. That sounds fun.
That's amazing.
I haven't done it for an hour. The longest I've done it from was about 40 minutes, but I wanted to get to a certain amount of steps.
Yeah.
And I think it took me 40 minutes to get to about 2,500, I think, was my best.
I love the Stairmaster. So one thing I always recommend to people if they say they live in a flat area or nowhere near any mountains, join a gym, whatever gym, just make sure it's got a Stairmaster because it combines core, it combines leg strength, endurance, cardio.
It's an all-rounder. It's really good.
Like if I was only going to do one thing to train to sort of climb Everest, if I was allowed one training regime, I would choose the Stairmaster.
Yeah,
because it's great. You take your arms off the supportive handles, you're working your core as you walk, you know, but you're also working your legs.
Yeah.
If you want to go to the edge of the steps, you can use more calves, or you know, it's amazing. And by amazing, I mean one of my least favorite things to do on this planet. But
we're talking about least favorite things, but actually. Sounds pretty awesome. And good luck, Simon. Doing the London Marathon. Awesome.
Wow,
good
luck. Amazing.
I'm sure we got a few Yetis. We haven't got any Yetis on there. We've got a few Evertrekkers who are taking it on. But yeah, let us know you get on, Simon.
Has Jodie ever run the London Marathon? She's done a couple of marathons, hasn't she?
She does.
Jodie will tell us now whether she's ever run the London Marathon or not.
Yeah.
I think she's done Manchester, definitely.
She's done, I think, has she done the Great North Run, which actually is a half marathon.
Did she do the Great North Run? No, we half. So lazy.
I can't say anything. I've only done a half marathon. I was happy with that. I'm not a big runner myself. I can walk for a long time. But not the best runner. I'm not sure my body is built for it. But,
I did a marathon in two halves.
Yeah, you did two half marathons, a couple of weeks apart?
A couple of weeks apart,
that's,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
No, she's never done London. She's so jet. London Marathon is the best. Yeah, Bri, I bet. I was going to say, if there's anyone that's done it, I bet Bri has done.
Yeah.
Has done the London Marathon.
Yeah. There's a rumour going around that Jodie's actually going to sign up to do the Everest Marathon.
Really?
Yeah, so
to see that.
Had a chat with a team out there. Maybe we're going to put a little Ever team together to go out there. So if you do want to go and do that, and you'd like to do it with Jodie, then why not get in contact with her and sort of start badgering her to do it? I think
I'm waiting for like some swear words to come out.
Because I'm not going to give out her mobile number or email
or things to be thrown across through the window there. but absolutely fantastic. Carl went to the Altitude Center last Friday. Yeah, hope it was good. It was a real insight and eye opener. Got the results this morning. Only need to get an outbound flight.
Yeah.
Brilliant, Carl. Brilliant. No, look, great that you're doing that kind of thing. And hopefully doesn't fill you with a lot of anxiety around the results. Because sometimes they don't always marry up. You know, one result can meet, you know, you almost think, oh, yeah, I'm going to be rubbish at altitude. But actually, sometimes it can be the opposite.
Yeah.
Hope it goes well. Great that you've done that as well. Hope it's provided a little bit of insights. They are great bunch of really good team at the Altitude Center.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it, you know, the information is designed to sort of, you know, it shouldn't put anyone off, should it? You know, it's because, like you said, sometimes I've seen people with really low readings at altitude that feel great. Yeah. People with really high readings that don't. A lot of it's in the mind and the preparation and the fitness as well. There's so many variables, but certainly a very valuable learning and training method.
Lucy's asked some good questions, actually. Hey, Lucy, I hope life is treating you well. What would you suggest the progression from EBC and Kilimanjaro? So, would love to give 6,000 meter plus at some point. We need to get a lot fitter, though. Yeah, good, really good question. I think a lot of it is the same sort of stuff, you know, getting out there, making sure your body is in the best shape possible, really. But definitely a lot of, you know, leg exercises, single leg movements, and strengthening of the back, just that, you know, it's going to help you wherever you are. But I'd say then if you're any extra work that you're doing, so the fitter you are, you know, you'll be able to go for a 6,000 meter peak. We've seen a lot of people who, you know, are not big runners, not ultra marathon runners. You know, they're not really into their fitness as such, but they're just getting out. They're outdoors a lot. Don't think that you're okay. You need to get super, super fit to do the 6,000 meter peak.
Yeah.
Knowing, you know, your resilience, especially, you know, doing the Everest Base Camp trip. You've got a lot there that can take you a lot of the way. Obviously, that last 10%, right, is sometimes hard to find. But I think, if you've got yourself, feeling confident, feeling good about yourself, feeling fit, you know, I think you'd be ready to take on a 6,000 meter peak. It'd be 100%. Nice to continue that journey, Lucy. Definitely.
Jerome has asked, any tips for mental fitness? It's an interesting topic, the mental side, because it's so different, I think, from one person to another. And what, you know, might give me motivation and sort of happiness might not work for you. I think the main thing is to kind of just keep focus on yourself to a degree, and, you know, keep your eye on the, you know, your mindset on the reasons why you wanted to take on this challenge. Sometimes I think it's quite easy to want to check out from something when you're having a really hard day or a really hard couple of days. Everyone gets those intrusive negative thoughts that think, do you know what, this isn't for me, I just want to sack it off. And I think those things don't necessarily represent reality. They don't normally, you know, it's normally your sort of mindset's way of coping with challenges sometimes. And everybody's like it. I've had treks like that. But if you push through, you know, and you keep your eye on the prize and you think often about the reasons why you do it, then that's amazing. In terms of training, to keep my mindset going, again, I think I try and make it fun or give myself something to commit to. that I really want to achieve. So I remember when I wanted to run a half marathon, like I was really, I just wanted to tick it off my list. I want to be someone that's able to say that I could have done it.
Yeah.
And so I really tried hard. Same with cycling. I set myself challenges, but also training with a friend, I think, often helps as well. And it's a good time to sort of, you know, I was going to say shoot the then, but, you know, I think, you know, like Andy said earlier, you know, it can be a really good sort of cathartic way to kind of relieve stress. I think when I'm on the trip as well, little, what I would call like happy distractions really kind of help me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always bring like loads of audio books and podcasts to listen to. Sometimes they'll be on about the region where I am. Sometimes they'll be comedy or related to something completely different. And all they do is they give your mind a little rest from the task in hand when needed. So sometimes when the day's over and you're trekking, you might have a hard day and you've got anxiety about the next day. Sometimes learning to quiet that
lizard
part of your brain that's trying to tell you to help yourself by going back down. So sometimes I listen to podcasts, I cheer myself up by listening to comedy things. I'll chat to my friends about mountain biking or trekking or home, and you know, gives your mind as much rest as the body, I think, is important.
Yeah, we could, I mean, there's so much you can discuss around mental fitness. I think, as Dave said there, there's, you know, certainly think about the why, certainly try and enjoy what you're doing as much as you can. I think also it helps just getting outside, just, you know, in the natural environment amongst the trees and the mountains and, you know, wind in your face and rain and all that stuff. It's good for the soul. It's really good for you. You know, certainly mentally, it's really good part of existence in my eyes, is just getting out and getting on adventures. Absolutely. You know, is the best form of a mental exercise you can do, is doing that. But, yeah, definitely, Jerome, we can certainly do another one. I know we've done one specifically on mental stuff. Dave said one of the big things that I like to talk about is a big kind of theme, really, about quietening the lizard, which is, you know, part of your, essentially your brain that, or, you know, is trying to look after you, is trying to save you. It's the thing that almost tells you to stop before you go over a hill or something like that. You know, especially if you're skiing, you come to a slope and you're looking down, it'll go, ooh, do you really want to go down there? It's the thing that stops you and saves your life, essentially, in some situations. But sometimes you need to get that lizard and keep him quiet. You know, so it doesn't scare the life out of you, because it's okay. What you're doing is fine, with a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of training. Good to see as well. A couple of Evertrekkers are on the trails. We got Jackie in Zongla, so basically in the Everest region. Hey, Jackie, nice. Thanks for tuning in all the way from Nepal. Must be getting on 6 o'clock now. And then Diane from Cusco. Enjoy your acclimatization day. Must be about 7 a.m. About 5 hours behind. So yeah, enjoy. I hope you enjoy the acclimatization day. It is a toughie. Going to put it out there, but you're going to enjoy it. It's great, especially when you get to, I think it's called Huska Kuska, which is like Little Cusco. Quite a really nice place. So yeah, look forward to seeing the pictures, Diane. Definitely getting sharing in the group. Be great to see how it's going for you. Always great to see Evertrekkers. I love it.
It's a great time of the year, this. You know, we've actually, there's quite a lot of trips happening.
There's a lot.
It's sort of a lot of Killy at the beginning of the year, and then we go into EBC and South America. So no, it is really good, I think, to see people out there having a good time. Love it.
Yeah, definitely. Did I imagine it, or do we get a shiny medal for completing EBC? Nigel, good point. Yes. So anyone that does Everest Base Camp with us now does get an Everest Base Camp medal. It does take, obviously, with the way the stock works, you don't get it directly. You get it within kind of a few months, really. So look out for an email, fill out a form from Rosie. So she looks after that. You get an email from Evertrek and it says about medals and stuff. Just fill that form in and when we can send it out to you. I believe once the season's over, then we look at the, so that'll be probably towards the end of May. And then we'll be getting them out then towards the summer. So you'll be getting your medal and certificate then. And just congrats for doing it as well.
Awesome.
Absolutely fantastic.
One of the training things I think is quite interesting to talk about as well is, which really does help, talking about Lucy there wanting to do a 6,000 meter peak and stuff like that. It's not necessarily, well, it is kind of the physical training, but sort of a winter skills trip, I think, is really good.
Yeah.
Slightly different type of training, you know,
that's a good point. Yeah,
where we've moved on from fitness to more sort of skills-based training.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of what we do on our sort of weekends, and what we do when we go, what the team do up in Scotland. So yeah. I think making sure that the first time you put crampons on isn't when you're climbing the mountain is really good.
Yeah.
So I think crampons, ice hacks, you know, rope work, all that sort of stuff. So when you're actually on the peak, you're like, this is familiar. I know I put these on, take them off. It does make a big difference, I think.
Yeah, exactly. It's nice getting some inside knowledge as well. Jackie, one of the guys on Island Peak trip summited this morning. Awesome. We haven't had any, our updates. We usually get them by the end of the day on the happenings of today. But great to hear. Our team on Island Peak summited as well, which is great.
Awesome.
Yeah, great stuff. Thanks, Jackie.
Wicked.
Inside knowledge, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. And people on the live. What Bryce says there. If anyone needs a challenge to get fit, just offer to carry Jerome's rocks.
Yeah, good system.
that would be very good training. Very good. Well, that's Jerome's training. It's worked for him.
Yeah, well, I did it to, remember I did to John when we were trekking with John, the great bald yeti. That was hilarious. So from sort of day one, and he realized when we were on our way to Le Boucher. So imagine that's quite a lot. Yeah. So when he put his pack down to get a little drink or something, I just add a rock or two into his into his rucksack, put it at the bottom.
Terrible.
And when he got to he's going up the Dougla Pass, he's like, "Oh, this is heavy." And I realized I didn't want him to have too many in there, so I put a massive one like this big in there, and then he noticed.
Wow.
Yeah, it's good crack.
Good crack, isn't it? Yeah, definitely. And talk about John. Talk about the story. When the very first time went to Everest Base Camp with him, which was in, I think it was September 2017.
Yeah.
So going back a fair while now. And I remember because at that time we didn't have the water filters in the pool and we were using chlorine tablets. And John, you know, was looking at the prices of the water because he didn't want to have the chlorine tablets. He was like, no chance, didn't like it. I'm going to buy bottled water at the time.
Mm.
And I think in Namche, he was thinking, well, obviously they're going to get more expensive. So what I'll do, I'll buy several in Namche and just carry them up.
Yeah.
And his bag was like so heavy in his day pack. And he was carrying that all day. And I was like, John, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You'd probably save £3 as in like in terms of the difference between it in buying.
Yeah.
It was a bit cheaper back then.
So it's a good, it is a good training method. If you're a cheapskate, then it does make hiking harder.
Yeah,
because your gear will be heavier and you'll be full of about 6 to 7 liters of water.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no need. There's no need.
You all right, Ed? Just writing something down.
Yeah, no worries.
My notes.
One other thing as well is, which you probably should mention, is about the, we've got a Brecon training weekend.
Of course. Yeah. It's going to segue into it. So obviously we're talking about training today, aren't we? And we've talked about different parts of training you can do yourself, you know, obviously with your mates, with your friends, get out there, which is great. But I know a lot of you have already been on one of our training weekends, and anyone that haven't been on them, we do have quite a few spaces left on our August training weekend this year. So I wanted to give it some airtime and get it on here because it's absolutely a fantastic weekend, really, of trekking the Brecon Beacons with myself and Dave. You know, we have Smurf, who's our mountain guide, who's coming on with us as well. And he'll be guiding us the whole weekend. And it's a really valuable session. I think anyone that comes on training weekend hopefully finds it useful. But we've had some really good feedback over the years, certainly from, you know, obviously it's like this, but in person.
Yeah.
And it's like a Q&A all weekend. Especially if you're preparing for a trip that you haven't yet done or gone to a hike you haven't yet been to, or just to chew the fat really and chat about, you know, how your training is going.
Yeah.
Is there something we can help you with? You know, getting our advice. And, you know, we've worked with thousands of Everest trekkers now over the last kind of several years in getting to places like Everest Base Camp and Kilimanjaro, Tupcal, Machu Picchu. You know, even places like Island Peak and Mera Peak. And just, you know, we hope then that, you know, that 5% that'll help you, you know, reach maybe the summit or reach the destination, that you can get that valuable advice from us.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully we'd like to think there's some good stuff there from our experience over the last several years. So, yeah, we'd love to see you on there. I think it's already there. There we go. It's I'll bring up the link if anyone is interested. There it is. Absolutely great
weekend of that trip. I'm sure as well we do have. Well, it also might potentially be the last one we do in Brecon.
It's true, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, because we launched the, we started doing sort of the training weekend that we run in Brecon, but in Snowdonia.
Yeah.
And it's proven to be very, very popular. It seems to be the way the wind is changing, that Snowdon's more accessible.
Yeah.
From people around the country and stuff like that. So it very likely could happen that this could be the Brecon sort of swan song, you know, this could be the last one.
Which would be a bit nuts because we've been running them now for almost 8 years. Yeah. It'd be crazy too. But anyway, we'll see what happens. Obviously, we want these weekends to be all about our Ever Trekkers. So yeah, if you are keen, it'd be great to see you on there. As Dave said, could be the last chance to come on the Brecon training weekend, you know, before we potentially stop them. Obviously, we'll see what happens over the next kind of 12 months. But obviously, we've got the one, unfortunately, it's sold out, the one in Snowdonia, but we do have some spaces left. So yeah, it'd be great to see you on and there.
Brecon is the OG classic trip, you know, OG. So that's the one. If we did move it, I mean, like I said, we'll see how it goes, but it'd be, I think I'd miss those Brecon weekends, you know.
Yeah, no, exactly. They've been great over the years. So yeah, let's see what happens. If it'd be great to see you on there. Or if you know of anyone else, I know some of you have already been on them already, but you know, if you're seeing that for the first time, it would be great to come on to the trip. And any questions around it, just let us know.
Yeah, I'm just reading some of the quite powerful comments there.
Very powerful.
From
nice. Thanks Lee, for sharing that, Lee, as well.
Lee, Alison, and Elaine. Yeah, the why is really powerful, and it can be a great cathartic experience, I think, to try and come to terms with things through trial and tribulation. You know, I think sometimes, you know, when you sit at home and you try to work things out on a familiar, comfortable environment, you tend to get the same old answers.
Yeah.
But actually go into a far-flung region of the world, is time to sort of disconnect from everyday life.
Yeah.
Allow yourself that quietness between your ears so you can actually think about things and process emotion.
Yeah.
And it can be amazing. So yeah, all best of luck to every person that's trying to do EBC or whatever their Everest is, for whatever their why is. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. It goes back to the why. We have Ever Trekkers who have lost, you know, important people in their lives. And, sometimes that can give you that extra push, right? Before you get to, before you get to that place that, you know, you can almost share that memory with. It's definitely, it's a powerful, powerful thing.
Yep.
So great stuff. You know, we've had Ever Trekkers do it before. So yeah, it should be just fine.
Yeah, 100%.
Doing that. Great stuff. I know we've got probably been about 5-10 minutes left. We're going to finish a little bit earlier today. But just to kind of round off a couple of things, we've obviously got, right now, obviously, people on Machu Picchu. And I wanted to just mention as well, we are doing until the end of April. So it is, getting less and less now as we tick down, and the month's absolutely flying by. But just want to let everyone know that if you do book a Machu Picchu trip for 2020, so if you're going on a date this year, you do get a free Rainbow Mountain trip. Just to put that out there. So if you're thinking about going at the end of the year, I know it's not too far off, but if you were looking at some dates in the autumn, we still got some spaces left on those trips. Whether you're going on the Inca Trail or whether you're going to the Tomakea route, get yourself booked in. It'd be great to see you on one of those trips. I know Diane's out there now about to take on her acclimatization day, which is great because you go up to over 4,000 meters. Before then you hit some of the higher parts of the trek before you drop down into the valley where Machu Picchu is. Absolutely beautiful, beautiful trips. Having done Tomakea route and parts of the Inca Trail, absolutely wonderful place to trek to. Very friendly people. The culture out there is fantastic. Good beers. If you're someone like Bri who likes to keep hydrated, and myself, I do like a nice beer. Absolutely fantastic place to kind of hang out and explore. And obviously, Machu Picchu itself, absolutely fantastic. Really, really cool. So yeah, just wanted to put that out there. If you are looking to do it, you do book before the end of the month, and you are going this year, then you do get a free Rainbow Mountain.
Yeah, awesome.
Nice day. Well, just to round off the fitness stuff, I know a lot of it is, okay, we've done the physical stuff, which is getting to the gym. Then we've talked about getting outdoors, you know, doing the stuff outside, putting in the time and things like that. And then actually it seems like a lot today as well, and a lot of people have sharing some of their personal stories, and thanks guys, I really love when people share some of the stuff. And I know it's hard to open up sometimes and talk about stuff and why, especially, you know, to other people that maybe you might not know personally. But hopefully the community brings everyone together. But I really appreciate it because, you know, we all have our own reasons, our own stories, our own memories, and certainly about new memories, you know, and new friends and new people to be discovered. And I thought, it's weird. We're talking about fitness and training, and it's kind of come all the way around to actually the reasons why we train.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. Cool. Well, it could certainly help you get off the sofa.
Exactly, which is sometimes the hardest thing.
Yeah, so, and it can be something as meaningful as what some of the things I've discussed here, or you could accidentally have watched an episode of My 600-Pound Life or something and decided that that's absolutely not going to be me. That's happened to me once before.
600 pound?
No, no, but you should watch the TV show.
Oh, really?
It'll encourage you to get out.
Okay. Yeah, well, whatever helps, isn't it? Like, you know, training plans are great. You know, going to the gym is great. But sometimes if you can see something else that motivate you lots just to do something, it's absolutely fantastic. And but any specific training stuff, do let us know. Obviously, we've got a lot of contacts. We've got training plans ourselves. You know, anything that you kind of want a bit more guidance on, just drop us a message. We're more than happy to help you on your journey. You know, as Lucy mentioned there, you know, she's done Killy, she's done Everest Base Camp, and now looking a bit higher. Let's have a chat about it. Let's see how we can help you. Obviously, the fitness stuff is important. Let's chat about that. But as Dave also said, there are other things that we can talk about, maybe skill sets, maybe trying new stuff that can also help you on that journey. You know, and then putting in, I think one big thing I find that helps a lot, I think someone mentioned earlier on, is that getting something in the diary is the best way to start. Yeah. Because once you've got that in, then you can't get around it. It's there. You've got something to aim for. And then that starts you off on your, right, I've got to get out now. Got to get to the gym. Got to get myself in shape, or I've got to learn how to do something. But the first step is just getting it booked in. No, getting that date in the diary.
I think, you know, something changes psychologically when you've got a date in the future where an event is going to take place that you need to work for and train for, because you physically have to make a choice to not do it. Where if you don't book it in, you're not doing it anyway. So there's nothing holding you.
Commitment is accountability is huge.
No, it does make a big difference. I think as soon as I know I've got to do something or someone's relying on me or something, then I immediately get that sort of drive to kind of get up and do things when I don't feel like it. Where if I'm just training for the sake of training, sometimes it's easy to say, well, what difference does it make if I take a week off? Like, I'm not delaying anything.
Yeah.
So, I think having an extra day in does make a big difference.
Yeah, exactly. And look, just to throw out there as well, because I know we talked about it last week. We've had a lot of people enter that we are actually doing a free trip to Kilimanjaro right now. So definitely get yourself entered if you haven't already entered. I'm sure you've seen one of Bri's already acceptance speeches. I know there's a lot of that floating around the internet at the moment, but if you want to get yourself and a friend in and potentially win a free trip, hopefully Jody will drop the link in, and then you can get yourself entered. It's absolutely been fantastic over the last several days to see people in the community share it and, you know, enter. And we'll be doing the announcement on the 30th of April. Fast approaching. Same deadline as to book the Machu Picchu before the end of the month. There we go. So we've got a big day going on the 30th of April.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts, Dave, before we kick off?
No, I think we've covered pretty much everything that I wanted to say. I mean, I think the only thing we haven't talked about as well is the importance of, and I'll say it quickly, just tapering off towards the
agreed.
Goal.
Agreed, yeah.
You don't want to sort of have a really hard training session in the week or the sort of week and a half, 2 weeks up to the day.
Yeah.
Because at that point, it's sort of diminishing returns. You know, you're still in recovery when you start the trip. So you want to make sure that there's no aches, no pains, and all the training is already in the bank.
Exactly.
Other than that, mate, I'm happy. It's been a good one.
I'm talking about tapering off. We're going to taper off now. Thanks for joining us. Obviously, we're back next week. Something completely different. Thanks for just being part of the conversation around training, around fitness, around why, around all that stuff. It's been really valuable. Good for us as well. Like I said, we're trekkers like you. We get out there, and sometimes we need motivation as well. We all have our ebbs and flows. We're not always, trekking to Everest Base Camp. You know, we have, you know, life, your work life and stuff. And sometimes it's good just to chat about that kind of stuff. And hopefully that's helped today.
Awesome.
Yeah. But we'll see you next week.
Nice one. Take it easy, guys.
Bye.